Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church forever and ever. Fall in.
Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 to 9a. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen to those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helped me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint. I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who are my adversaries? Let them comfort me. This is the Lord God who helps me, who will declare me guilty. Psalm 70. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire to hurt me. Let those who say, aha, aha, turn back because of their shame. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, that you may not grow weary or lose heart. The Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 21 to 32. After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of the disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore mentioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one with whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him, and Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should have given something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once." Good morning. This is Tim Tribble, broadcasting from Sacramento, California. Today's readings come to us from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 to 9a, Psalm 70, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, and the Gospel of John chapter 13, 21 to 32. Today's reading in John happens tomorrow. So this is the Last Supper. So they are gathered together in here, as we read, and are in a dining room known as a triclinium. And you can look that up. It's TRICLINIUM. But the reason for mentioning this is in our culture, we don't do this. So we sit in chairs around a table. In the Mediterranean, at that time, they did Roman-style dining. Many Jews had adopted the Roman style of dining. The account of the Last Supper in John 13 suggests that Jesus and the disciples were following this custom in a modified form. The Last Supper was not a convivium meal, but a Passover. And there had to be room for all of Jesus' inner circle of 12. There was, of course, no entertainment, so it might have been the case that the four couches were arranged around a central table, unless, as could happen, four persons reclined per couch or mat. The 13 diners were reclining as they ate, and John is said to have been leaning against the breast of Jesus, who was naturally in the position of a superior. John's position next to Jesus suggests he was Jesus' closest friend, which is implied in the narrative of the text in chapter 23. And this comes from the NRSV Cultural Background Study Bible. So, they're basically reclined. They're on their left elbow, and they're kind of stacked together around the table. And we start off with Jesus being troubled and telling everyone, one of you is going to betray me. Now, the significance of that is in that culture at that time, and still kind of this time too, if someone is betrayed, the victim of the betrayal is considered to have be a poor judge of character, not have, know how to choose your friends, don't trust the right people, you know, that stuff that we've all heard. So everybody's like, well, wait a minute, Simon Peter, okay, this is Peter, the one who's going to deny him three times before the cock crows, twice. Who's going to do that? He wants to know. So he asks John, who is the one right next to Jesus. So John turns around and asks him, Lord, who is it? And instead of calling him out by name, Jesus took bread, and it would have been unleavened bread. It would have been dipped in bitter herbs with a mixture that later rabbis called charoset, which probably included nuts and spices. And he dipped it in and openly hands it to Judas, which honors Judas because the superior in the room, the number one, this is, you know, in the hierarchy of dining, and yes, I'm over, so this is the guest of honor, if you will, in our vernacular, hands this bread to Judas, so this honors Judas. And then turns around and tells him, go deal, Satan entered him. And he turns around and he says, go do what you need to do quickly. Let's get this over with. And so it was Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. But no one understood what was going on. No one got that. They're, wait a minute, well, Judas, you know, he's the money guy. Maybe, you know, he's got to go buy some more stuff for the Passover meal. Maybe, you know, just tell me, you know, maybe we need to go make a donation to the poor. They don't understand that Judas is leaving, has nothing to do with their money. That Judas is going to the high priest and for 30 pieces of silver is going to finger Jesus so that they can arrest him, beat him, torture him, condemn him, and crucify him. And then after Judas left, Jesus said, now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glory him at once. So this is the concept that they are moving out, and God is glorified, reveals his glory within the deep revelation of the glory. It is in the context of the cross. So Jesus is glorifying God. God is glorifying Jesus because what is about to happen. The ball's now rolling. The stage has been set. On the Thursday, which is tomorrow, we'll have Maundy Thursday, and the Episcopal tradition and other liturgical churches and some others. There's an evening service, and then we wash the feet. It varies in how it's done. Some places the priest does it. Sometimes they pass it around and you wash the bowl, the foot of the person next to you, that type of thing. There's various ways of doing it. It's a very humbling experience, and it's something that Jesus does. I'll talk more about that tomorrow. But this is, again, the humanity of Jesus coming down, and he's troubled because he knows what's going to happen to him. He knows every detail of everything that's going to happen. But he knows that he has to do it for the glory of God, and that he has been sent as the perfect sacrifice for the new covenant, the new commandment, to love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. So it's the hardest thing to do, because there are, and we all know this, I sure do, every day I run into people that really, really make it hard to love them. But that's what we are called to do. And Jesus' love was for everyone. His death on the cross was for everyone, not just a select few. This is for everyone who believes Jesus is there, and the forgiveness of God's grace is there for us. So as we continue on through our Holy Week journey, today, on Wednesday, think about Judas Iscariot had to do his job. The stage is set, and we're moving forward to Jesus being sacrificed for the new covenant. Amen.
A prayer for joy in God's creation from the Book of Common Prayer. O Heavenly Father, who has filled the world with beauty, open our eyes to behold your gracious hand in all your works, that, rejoicing in your whole creation, we may learn to serve you with gladness for the sake of him through whom all things were made, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you for falling in to First Formation, where Pew Pew HQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast by clicking the link in the show notes. Or, if you serve military families, subscribe to First Forward, a paid subscription feed providing commentary on Sunday lectionary texts a week in advance. Use it for sermon prep or just because you support the troops. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instruction will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with PewPewHQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off of air. So there you have it. Three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I haven't convinced you to fall in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.